This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
I'm rather apparent really soon here. Hey, there we go. I can hear the Civic Media Radio Network through my headphones here on beautiful Lake Wissota. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, October 21st, 15 days till Election Day. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media, thanks for starting your day right here. Hope it was a fun weekend for you. It was for me because I get to use the phrase kicking and screaming in a good way. Kicking and screaming that took place where I was in the south end zone as the Green Bay Packers kickers' woes come to an end with a game-winning field goal. So we'll talk a bit about the game. Saw our friend Kristen Lyerly. She was at the game at the, of course, the complete opposite end of the stadium. So that was weird, but we did find a way to finally say hello. She was out shaking hands because that's her congressional district where she's running. We will talk in a bit with Kristen about Friday night's U.S. Senate debate between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde. And then my guest in hour number two also picks up on something Eric Hovde did in Friday night's debate. And it's the same thing Donald Trump keeps doing on the campaign trail, along with many other Republicans. They can't stop lying about abortion rights and the conditions that actually occur during pregnancy that require a full slate of care options. A full slate of care options not dictated by political ideology or whims. We'll be joined by Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Action of Wisconsin. Reporter Selena Heller will be along. She interviewed Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren over the weekend, campaigning in Wisconsin, about the importance of early voting, especially since early in-person absentee voting begins tomorrow across Wisconsin. If you'd like more information, head over to myvote.wi.gov and find out where your local clerk's office is and get some contact information or check your local website, your city website, your town government website, because the hours are dictated by each local clerk. There's 1,800 of them around Wisconsin. So you want to find out, you want to make sure somebody's going to be at the town hall if you're looking to do early in-person absentee voting. It's super easy. You just want to make sure that you're there at a time when your clerk is going to be there. So keep that in mind, and Senator Warren will talk about why it is such a great option, one that you should take advantage of, in part so you can do what we did this morning, and that was keep the TV off. I haven't seen any political ads yet today, and that's been wonderful. But that's also because we're early voters and just don't have to tap into that anymore. Let's see. It's also Monday, which means it's a new day for Civic Media, which is why we're going to be bringing in our friend Greg Bach, who I now get to introduce coming to us live from Radio Park. Mr. Bach, good morning. That is definitely not a supply closet. That looks like an actual broadcasting studio.
Oh yeah! Did you hear the applause I just did there?
I did.
Okay,
yes.
Good. I want to make we're making sure everything's working correctly and
yes,
all the stuff is good. But yes, I'm in the brand new studios, brand new to me, I should say. This is a historic building we are in right now. This is our Radio Park here in Racine, and this place has been around for decades upon decades, and we're really excited to be here because it's a radio studio.
Eddie Cantor and Al Jolson would sometimes be there on Saturday nights dressed in tuxedos, as everybody was who worked in radio back then. And yeah, it's a very historic place, but you sound great.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And you have a shorter commute to work, which is a good thing.
Oh my God. Yes. So,
He's a very happy man right now. This is part of Civic Media is only growing its Milwaukee area presence, which of course still includes our friends in Waukesha through WAUK, but also of course has stations in Racine, Kenosha, and all around. Going to continue to broadcast to all of Milwaukee now live from Radio Park. Did you watch the Packer game at all?
I did not get a chance to. Bridget and I were celebrating our anniversary. It's today, but we were doing some celebrations yesterday. We just, you know, had ourselves a cocktail and then went out for a nice lunch. And then we were going to go get dessert. And then Bridget goes, "Can we just go home? I'm really tired." I'm like, "Me too. Let's go home."
That sounds just like us. Yep. Got my scarf. It was the white out yesterday in the crowd. And it actually worked out all right. Because remember I was saying Thursday, Friday, it was going to be really warm, and I just purchased this kind of white-colored sweatshirt, a Packer hoodie,
yeah.
And I thought I was going to be roasting at the game. It turned out it wasn't that way at all. We were in the south end zone, yeah, which is in the shade pretty much the whole time, and we were in that 400 level, which is under the upper deck. It's just underneath it, so you've got cover. We were right by the concourse, which had a breeze blowing in. So it was actually the sweatshirt was the perfect thing to be wearing for most of the game. So that actually worked out all right in the end. They were standing room only tickets, which is a little interesting because I don't know if you know this, the Packers are a pretty popular team. There was, you know, it never got out of hand, but there was always like that little bit of jockeying, you know, you'd shift your elbow this way or nudge your foot over this way to just get by the rail, you know, to watch the game.
Yeah.
It was very much like when you're on a flight and you're sitting next to somebody and you're not sure, like, oh, he got the armrest before me. I wonder, when he goes to take a drink, I'm going to put my arm on the armrest. You know,
And in perfect fluent Midwestern, you just think to yourself, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yep. I wanted to sleep anyways. I wanted to be cozy and sleep anyways. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I never, you know, uttered ope, you know, because I was very serious about having a good view of the game.
Yeah.
And did have a great view of the field, but I'd say 80% of the action or more took place at the north end of the field, you know, just by circumstance, the way things were working out. So I understand why, you know, it's fun to go to an NFL game, but you don't, of course, get nearly, you don't get the camera angles. You don't get the, you know, you don't know exactly who caught the ball necessarily if you're looking in the scrum of everything. And so you're just like, yay, the guy caught the ball. Hooray.
Look at all those.
Oh, wait, did he? Because it's so far away, I can't tell if it was her catch or not, you know?
I did see it was a very close game.
It was very close. There were 7 lead changes back and forth, so it turned out to be a very good game. I missed a little bit of the third quarter when texting Kristen Lyerling, we realized we were both at the game. And unlike, you know, and I haven't been in Lambeau Field in 20 years.
Okay.
But a lot of baseball stadiums and, you know, American Family Field's one of them, you can get pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's some suites you can't get to, but anywhere else, you just do enough laps, go up and down enough stairs. Lambeau's a little different that way to go reach somebody. You're like, oh, I'm by section 129, but you could be on the first level or the third level of section 129.
And oh, so really? That's how they do it?
Yeah.
I haven't been there in so long, I can't even remember.
Yeah, so we got one comment on Facebook saying, beer too expensive at Lambeau. I sent a picture of an overdone bratwurst and a can of beer. Of course, the can of beer was 24 ounces. This thing was a water tower.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say $24. Yep. I'm like, what?
No. But it came out, the brat and the beer. And then for two of us, yeah. Dana Walks was with me, $42.
Oh my God.
$42 for two brats and two beers. Yes, I know. But as Tony mentions on YouTube, he says, what a game. Finally got a kicker. Yes, we did. We finally have ourselves a kicker. His name is Brandon McManus. And he helped the Packers overcome 3 turnovers. And that was, you know, I mean, we were down at halftime. The crowd was not happy. You know, it was far from a perfect game. But wouldn't you know, the chance to go for a winning field goal happens down at our end at the south end zone, and Brandon McManus kicks it as time expires and gives the Packers a 24-22 victory. And I guess I didn't see this, but McManus did a Lambeau leap after that. And he's the oldest guy on the team by far now at age 33. And he said he didn't quite appreciate how much you have to jump to get up there, but I guess he managed to. So that's a good thing. And then the Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, we thought, well, this guy might really run roughshod over us. He was held to 10 of 21 for a career low 86 yards, and he was sacked 4 times in the game.
Ooh.
So there was definitely a lot of action to watch. The whiteout thing was interesting. I wasn't crazy about the uniforms because that's the New York Jets. The white uniforms with the little green, you know, oval
here.
On the helmet there. That's, I mean, they looked like they were in the old Jets uniforms. But it worked out for a day. It was fine.
It was fine.
We found parking practically across the street from Lambeau Field, which was great. And the neighborhoods there, oh my gosh, what a wonderful street carnival. Every, you know, on such a beautiful day. I mean, obviously, some days the weather's miserable, but this was just one of those perfect ones. And it was great to see everybody in such a good mood today.
I'm glad you had a good time. It's been a long, long, long time since I've been to a Packer game, but it's,
yeah.
Even as a non-football fan, I tell people, if you have the opportunity to go, you should go. It's an experience. It's like going to Fenway. Yep. You know, it's a culture.
And by the way, multiple times we saw people in Houston Texans jerseys, and without fail, every single time, somebody would be like, "Hey, welcome to Green Bay!" Like, "Hey, hope you're having a good time here." I mean, we are the nicest fan. We are the nice, most welcoming fans ever.
I just love that idea. Welcome here. We brought up dish to pass. There you go.
Right. Everybody. Did just great. The Packers are next in Jacksonville next Sunday at noon, and you can catch that game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and right about near where Mr. Bach is, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. The Badgers beat up on Northwestern 23-3 on Saturday, so the Badgers are now 5-2, 3-1 in the Big Ten, and they are hosting third-ranked Penn State next Saturday. It's a night game. It's 6:30 at Camp Randall. Let's see, and you can catch that on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine Kenosha, and Richland Center as well. We will pause here, and we will next go over the U.S. Senate debate that aired Friday evening here on civic media stations and on TV across Wisconsin between Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. We'll kind of go point by point because, I mean, it was a rapid-fire debate. They got 17 questions in. Maybe didn't give them quite enough time to answer some of them, but they covered a lot of ground, so we'll try to do the same in the next segment. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I mean, who doesn't need a little meatloaf paradise by the dashboard light at 6:21 in the morning on a Monday here on Up North News Radio? We'll tell you why Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell album is part of today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes. In this morning's edition of the daily newsletter that we put out over here that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, there are stories here, including one about shots. Not the one kind of shots, the other kind of shots, the kind that you get poked in the arm. And it is time for that. It is time for your flu shot. It is time for a COVID booster. And if you have newly turned to 60 years old, like somebody in this chair right here, there's a new RSV shot that you should be getting as well. So learn about the three different shots, which I'm going to be getting later this afternoon. And hopefully things go well. And I'm still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow morning. Also, of all the different kinds of cheeses made in Wisconsin, what are the most popular ones among Wisconsin chefs? There's a story in the newsletter about that. And the headline of another story, the top three mistakes Wisconsin voters make and how to avoid them. Such things as, well, not looking ahead of time at who's running for something so that you know who you're voting for, but also some things about filling out the ballot itself. And again, don't let that intimidate you. Just read up on it and treat it like any other good assignment. Do your homework, fill things out, and you too can be part of all the cool kids who are voting on November 5th or earlier. Like I said, early voting starts tomorrow in person at clerk's offices around Wisconsin. Again, sign up for the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, I'm going to go through as much of my notes on the Baldwin-Hovde debate so that for those of you that didn't want to spend 60 minutes catching up on what they all had to say, we're going to get you caught up in five. So here we go. Here's the overall take on this is Eric Hovde, and Greg, you'll back me up on this. Eric Hovde is a thirsty, thirsty man who wants attention.
Yeah, he does. And,
every answer, he looks at the camera, but then he turns away and talks directly to Senator Baldwin, trying to goad her. Like, well, she's not going to take the bait, first off, because it's you. And you've proven to be rather smarmy here, but you know, second, that's not how the format works. You know, she's just going to answer the question, and she did, but Eric kept turning and trying to goad her into like a viral moment or something. All Tammy had to do was point out, you've had like 19 different fact checks that you have had to be corrected on.
Yeah,
Hovde repeatedly brought up Tammy Baldwin's partner. You know, again, they're not married, has this partner. And at one point, after hearing enough of this, Senator Baldwin says, you know, Eric Hovde should stay out of my personal life. And I think I speak for most Wisconsin women that he should stay out of all of our personal lives. And you could hear a collective, you know, amen from the crowd out there. So they got through 17 different questions. There were only 60 seconds to respond. And look, 2 minutes is definitely too much because I've seen that in presidential debates. So I think the sweet spot is going to be 90 seconds and then allow for rebuttals as well, which I know can get into a bit of a back and forth. But sometimes the one person answers, the other person answers, and you want to be able to call out what you think are the deficiencies in what the other person had to say. But instead, they move on. So moving through the issues pretty much in the order they came up here, there was the Affordable Care Act, where said it had failed, but he had no alternative. He brought up nothing credible. He figures if you just say something failed enough, kind of like the border, you can't say it failed and then tank the bill, you know? Whereas Senator Baldwin pointed out that she was the author of the provision that lets young workers stay on their parents' policy till they're 26, and hopefully their income is up enough that they can now afford to get their own health insurance. It's been a godsend for young adults and for healthcare costs, and Eric Hovde has said that he called it stupid and implied that basically anybody under 26 who was on their parents' plan was lazy. On childcare, Hovde gave this puzzling answer. He talked about his wife being a single mom more than 30 years ago, and that's why he is sympathetic to childcare concerns, which you have to think, kind of do the math, and like, oh, okay, she was married before. Okay, gotcha. But his answer on childcare was that it just needs more business partnerships. Well, if I had a big old red flag here, I'd be waving it for the camera right now, because again, when your only answer to anything, to a service that could be provided to the public, is that there should be partnerships with businesses, that's not a real answer. That's hoping for the whims of wealthier people to take care of things that, you know, we basically pay taxes for. When it came to the question of long-term care, Hovde's response was, we need to get retired people back into the workforce and raise wages. But raising wages also raises inflation, which is this thing that Eric Hovde loves to talk about. So again, it didn't sound like he had an answer there other than, again, to make it tougher for people to retire. You've worked all your adult life, you've scrimped and saved, and Eric Hovde's answer is, let's make it tougher for people to retire. You know about the border bill. Eric Hovde falsely said that the bill was dead on arrival and was not going to pass. Not even close to true. bill had overwhelming bipartisan support, but nobody wanted to run foul of Donald Trump, and so Republicans hopped off the wagon en masse. On Ukraine, Hovde gave a pro-Russia answer about it not being worth the money. It was just a classic Ron Johnson answer. And do we really need two Ron Johnsons representing us in the Senate? The other viral moment of the debate was when they talked about farming and where Eric Hovde said, well, I'm not an expert, but I don't have to be because I'm not in the Senate yet. Him not having a ready-to-go answer on farming in Wisconsin was another huge flag. On PFAS, he said, we should clean it up, but you know the debt is breaking us. So again, using money as an excuse not to have clean water. He talked about how he wouldn't take special interest money. Well, no, you don't have to. You put $20 million of your own money into the campaign already. And when he was asked for an example of bipartisanship, he pointed out Joe Manchin, which is a deal breaker right there. Senator Baldwin, for her part, talked about how the Affordable Care Act allows for better negotiations, lower prices on drugs. We need to raise the cap on Social Security taxes so that billionaires are paying more. She talked about workforce apprenticeships to help with long-term care. She talked about having an allied front when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. And we need to restore the Voting Rights Act to what it used to be. And we need to restore Roe v. Wade to what it used to be. And pass the border deal. So there you go. There's your speed round, your 5-minute recap on the U.S. Senate debate. We'll talk to Kristen Lierley about her congressional campaign, the Packer game, and more up next here up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure to present on my album, Mr. Dizzy Gillespie. Glow!
I got chills the first time I heard this. That is actually Dizzy Gillespie playing on Stevie Wonder's 1986 hit, Do I Do, from his musical or his original Musiquarium album. Dizzy Gillespie was born this day in 1917, passed away in 1993. One of many items coming up on today's history lesson, right after a little visit with our friend, Dr. Kristen Lierley. Dr. Lierley, how are you?
Good morning. When I think of Dizzy Gillespie, I think of cheeks.
Yes, you get a whole cheekful before he starts blowing on that horn, and it worked out all right for him. Guy's got some true talent. It was so nice to see you at the Packer game. How are you?
Oh my gosh, what a game!
I know.
I was dying at the end. I think we were all dying a little bit at the end, and then we all just sprang to life again. Incredible.
Yes, it was. It was truly the one time you can use the word kicking and screaming in a positive manner. There was kicking and then there was screaming, and it was great. It was really nice. It was nice to see you, but I was saying a little earlier, Lambeau Field does not make it easy to go find somebody in one section or the other, you know, but we managed to pull it out.
Well, if you hadn't been sitting in the fancy section, which
fancy
I didn't get
section.
Up to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was way up there in the nosebleeds. Yeah.
For those of us on the bleachers down in the bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we made it work. And again, it was a great game. 7 lead changes, came down to the last second.
And so, the new kicker.
And the new kicker got the job done.
My friend actually said, if he makes this, I'm buying his jersey. And then he made it. And she said, what's his name?
I would never make that financial commitment unless I was at least $100 beers in at a game. Yeah. Like, there's no way. That's so expensive.
I was going to say, it wouldn't take much to get, you know, $100 of beer in.
That was the point of the joke, had I not totally messed it up.
No, I know. I know. But yeah, it was fun. And you talk about it all the time, being there sometimes just a tailgate, and the atmosphere is just unlike anything else.
It really was the best. I mean, for me, running for Congress in Green Bay, yesterday was campaigning and tailgating. So I just threw on my hat and just walked around and talked to people. I think I talked some people into voting for me once they, you know, got a sense of who I was, because I love the Packers. And there's J.D. Vance over in a corner doing his campaigning thing, pretending like he cares. What a distraction. The people in Green Bay get it. It is about the Packers. It is about community. We're tired of politics. We just want a government that works for us.
Yeah. I know for decades, Bill Proxmire would just plant himself at one of the gates. It was always the same gate, and he would just shake every hand of anybody that came by. And that was it. Nothing overt, you know, nothing fancy. It's just like, here's your senator. And perhaps sometime real soon, people will be like, that's my congresswoman over there, just saying hi to people outside the game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've got a busy week. You probably had a busy week. I mean, there were some things going on. In fact, we found a little audio out there on social media that probably summed up your week pretty well.
Uh-oh.
I'm going off script. Everybody's nervous and back right now.
Here she goes, going off script.
The stadium across the street that houses our Green Bay Packers. We own them. They are our team. Our team. And there's this cheer that we do every Sunday, and frequently, more frequently than every Sunday, we do it a lot.
I love this.
It goes like this. Say it with me if you know it. I'm going to sing it. Bum, bum, ba-na-nam. Hey, that's
it's a woman who is not afraid to sing in public from a podium, and then she would later do it with the Kamala chant instead. But as soon as I heard you singing it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Kristen. That's not not an imposter by any stretch. This is, and I could just feel all the campaign people behind the scenes just going, oh no, she's going off script. She's doing something. She's singing. Crowd loved it. Good on you.
I had to send her a text last week when I saw the same event when she made the IVF joke. I'm like, I love that joke, and I'm really mad I didn't write that joke.
You told an IVF joke?
Oh yeah.
Because Donald Trump had claimed to be the father of IVF.
Yes.
So I texted that to one of my friends who's an IVF provider down in the Southeast in Alabama and Georgia. And she wrote back to me that he's not the father of IVF. He just doesn't know how to spell Ivanka.
That works.
So I used that. So I stole that joke. So now, Greg, you can steal that joke.
That's right. Well, that's, again, imitation is the sincerest form of comedy. So works out just fine. One of the things, before I talk about the Senate debate, I just want to make clear, and I haven't said this for a while, but Kristen joins us on Monday mornings and does not have to. Up North News Radio is on stations all around Wisconsin, but none that beam directly into the 8th Congressional District.
So why she do doesn't. I do this?
So she doesn't have to do this. But obviously, it's always nice to have support outside of your district for a host of reasons. But I just wanted to say I appreciated that very much, that you come on and still, like you were doing long before you became a candidate, was just kind of shoot the breeze on things that are in the news and things like that. So
with
the serious and the unserious. So having said that, let's turn to the serious for a moment. Friday night's debate, Eric Hovde. I guess I did not want to think he would actually be so callous or shallow as even now, this late in the campaign, when this talking point has been debunked over and over again, but again, continued to say in the debate that Tammy Baldwin favors abortion policy that allows for people to abort their pregnancies in the 8th and 9th month, making it sound like it's done as some kind of a matter of convenience. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I guess even after all that debunking, I was a little bit surprised.
It's a winning issue for them. And actually, I bumped into two of my friends from high school recently who told me that this is the number one thing that their parents, who have known me since I was a teenager, they're concerned because they think that I am in favor of abortions for healthy babies at 7, 8, 9 months. And so we've had conversations about how this just doesn't happen. And the reality is that only 1% of abortions happen after 20 weeks. And these are typically deeply desired and flawed pregnancies. And they're pregnancies that have to be treated very carefully with a lot of support, a lot of information, and on an individual case-by-case basis, they're all different. So this, I get it. I understand why they say that, because it really resonates with their crowd. It's that ugly messaging that we've seen from Ron Johnson for years and years and years. And it makes it that much more important for us to have these conversations with the people we love. You can't just shut it down when it comes up. You have to talk about it because it's so important and it's dividing us.
Well, yeah, if essentially a lie is allowed to resonate, you're saying that message is a winning message, but the winning message is flawed or a lie, depending on how you want to approach it. And so that's why I wanted to bring it up again, and I'm going to bring it up next hour with Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood, is to do what we've been doing since the Dobbs decision, if not sooner, and that is telling people that there is so much more to reproductive health care than what people think. Mm-hmm. And that they think, you know, abortion is just some kind of a quick and easy matter of convenience. And it's so much more complicated than that. And we could not do that without providers like you willing to put up with all these slings and arrows that are out there.
Well, we have to. I mean, our patients are vulnerable. This is stuff that's really hard to talk about. It's deeply personal. And they can't be those messengers. Sometimes they can. There are a handful of them who can talk about it. But it's my obligation to talk about it. So I'll keep talking about it.
You mentioned J.D. Vance, and he was also in Waukesha County. Apparently with an explicit appeal to Catholic voters. And it gets us to another claim that, again, has been repeatedly debunked, but clearly not enough yet, that some people are still believing this, where, again, the campaign said that Vice President Harris and President Joe Biden are disrespecting people because they falsely claim that President Biden scheduled the annual Transgender Day of Visibility to fall on Easter earlier this year. Now, the Day of Visibility takes place on March 31st every year, and it has for 15 years now. The date of Easter changes based on a church calendar, and the two holidays did collide this year, which is very convenient for anyone, in my view, who's willing to combine a little bigotry with their politics. Because if you're not the kind of person that'll do that, then you understand that it was a coincidence. But again, Kristen, what you said earlier, it resonates with some people, even if it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the transgender thing. You've been seeing these ads on TV.
Oh, my goodness. You think that's the only issue out there, that migrants and transgenders, that there isn't any other issue out there?
I'm not hearing that on the doors. What I'm hearing on the doors is people are worried about paying for things. I talked to a woman out in Wittenberg last week. She said, I was actually just sitting down trying to figure out which bills I could pay and which bills I could put off a little bit longer. I need help. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. She could care less about what somebody does in their bedroom or who is transgender or who is gay or anything about somebody else's personal life. She just wants to get through the day. And again, politicians are not speaking to the things that people really care about, the things that are really causing problems in our lives.
Well, that's because those issues, those economic issues, their plan is very simple. It's about scaring people with social issues to win elections, but when they're in office, their economic issue is cutting taxes for the very wealthy, cutting regulations. I mean, do you know how many millions and millions of pounds of meat products have been pulled off shelves recently for listeria recalls? Mm-hmm. And it was during the Trump administration that they loosened the regulations on meat inspections. Now, that nobody's going to make a campaign commercial out of that, but that's what they'll do. They'll cut taxes for the very wealthy. They'll cut taxes for corporations. They'll cut safety regulations. And all those other folks who are busy getting, you know, scared by these commercials, they're not going to get anything out of it. Tony Evers was, you know, trying to get a real middle class tax cut through and couldn't because the Republicans in the legislature just would not let go of tax cuts for the very wealthy as their higher priority. And the same thing's going to happen if Tony Weed and Donald Trump get into power there.
Yeah. Well, they talk about cutting regulations. They talk about less government, but they want government in your bedroom. You know, they think that the answer to everything is cutting regulations and just letting things happen the way that they do. But come on. I mean, let's use a little common sense here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. Now, there are, of course, plenty of conservatives who understand that Donald Trump is not a conservative. You know, this is somebody who is seeking power only for themselves. And so they are supporting Kamala Harris. Liz Cheney is one example. Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris will be back in Wisconsin today, again, in crucial Waukesha County, campaigning. And they're having a moderated discussion with, of all people, Charlie Sykes, who, again, was Mr. Conservative for decades on Southeast Wisconsin radio. But he, too, can't say enough bad things about, you know, the dangers of a Trump presidency. And so did Kamala Harris ever think she'd have a day where she's campaigning in Waukesha County with Liz Cheney and Charlie Sykes promoting her for president? If that doesn't tell some more conservative voters how high the stakes are in this, nothing else will.
All it would have to do is take place at a gun range. It's like,
yep. Well, and that's just it. The vice president could bring her Glock along with her. You know, I mean, this has been a season unlike any other. And it's, like I said last, a week ago today, I said, look, it's going to get a little bit uglier from here. And it sure did with Trump over the weekend, saying again, just some really ugly things we can't even play on the radio because he's using so much more profanity, but he's also just doing so many other odd things now. And I really think over these, you know, last 15 days of the campaign, that's only going to ramp up, and people should know, don't let that dissuade you from voting.
That's another thing that I'm hearing on doors, and we've been knocking a lot of doors in rural areas. People don't really like Donald Trump. They see these things more often because the media is covering it more often, and it makes them uncomfortable, and they're trying to make it fit into what they've believed in the past, and maybe they have always voted Republican, and they're trying to figure out how that's going to work for them in this election cycle. But I mean, let's be honest. As a physician, I watch Donald Trump. He's not well. He's not well. He is likely suffering from dementia. He's not healthy. There's no way he's going to make it through the next 4 years if he even makes it to the election. I mean, he is not okay.
No. And, you know, waiting in the wings there is J.D. Vance, who will absolutely pursue, you know, an agenda that is so antithetical to democracy that it really ought to make people think twice between now and November 5th, or now and tomorrow, if people are voting tomorrow. And they can, because that's when early in-person voting begins. We'll have today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It was October 21st, 1957, 67 years ago today, that Elvis Presley had the number one hit in the country with Jailhouse Rock. We played a little Paradise by the Dashboard Light from Meatloaf. That's because this day in 1977 was when the landmark Bat Out of Hell album that was written by Jimmy Steinman and produced by Todd Rundgren was released. One of the most popular albums of the 1970s, eventually selling more than 14 million copies in the U.S. This is today's history lesson on Up North News Radio at 6:52. Selena Heller and Whiskers is here. Whiskers has got a red bow on and is...
Seems thrilled about it.
Seems, always seems so thrilled. Honestly, the closest thing we have to Garfield from the cat world in real life.
He kind of acts like that sometimes.
I'm so happy
he
to
likes
be
SpaghettiOs. I don't know.
That's an interesting revelation.
It is.
Cat eats SpaghettiOs. All right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Happy birthday, 83 years old today, to Manfred Mann.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Still see Harold Ramis and Bill Murray in stripes learning how to march with this. Anyway, Manfred Mann. He was born Manfred Lubowitz. He had this hit, which was a cover. He also covered Bruce Springsteen's Blinded by the Light. And he is still touring to this day with the Manfred Mann's Earth Band. On this day in 1958, Buddy Holly did what turned out to be his final studio recording session in New York with tracks that included True Love Ways, Moon Dreams, and Raining in My Heart. Happy birthday to rock and blues guitarist Elvin Bishop. He is 82 today, quite the legend in blues circles, but he did have one top 40 hit as well. And you can kind of tell your age if you're remembering this song from the Boogie Nights soundtrack or the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, or that you actually listened to it on the radio.
I was going
to
say, or when it was brand new.
When it was brand new music. Listen to this new song from 1976.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned Dizzy Gillespie, born this day in 1917. On this day in 1908, the first ever two-sided vinyl record was offered for sale in an ad running in the Saturday Evening Post. Everything about that is wrong. There's no more vinyl records. There's no more Saturday Evening Post.
I just imagine some hipster in 1908. I was into vinyl, but it was only one side. You know, whatever. You know, it's fine. Put two sides on there. I was just fine. You know, whatever. It's fine.
But you can flip the record.
I don't need to flip the record. I feel the record, man. Just feel it.
Those folks who were listening to records this day in 1967, the number one hit from Lulu was from the title track of the big motion picture that year. Starring Sidney Poitier as an engineer having a tough time finding work, and so was a substitute teacher for a while.
Those schoolgirl days.
The number one album this day in 1972 was Superfly, the soundtrack by Curtis Mayfield. The number one single this day in 1972 was Chuck Berry, and it was his only number one hit. You're going to have to go on the web yourself and play My Ding-a-Ling. We're not really going to play that novelty song today on the radio. Singer Kane Brown is 31 years old today. Kane Brown is 31. Kim Kardashian is 44 years old today. And I still don't know why she's famous. But that's one of life's great mysteries I'll never get. Former Brewer Zach Greinke, 41 today. Doja Cat is 29. And on this day in 2022, Taylor Swift released her 10th album, Midnights. This is National Back to the Future Day because it was in the movie that they set the little time machine for October 21st, 2015.
Marty!
And nothing really happened, did it?
Marty!
Darn. This is National Loud Shirt Day, which Ms. Heller is not contributing to. She's got swag instead from the Harris Walls bus tour. They had bus tour t-shirts that you've got there.
That's pretty cool. Bus tour everything.
That's pretty cool.
If we're rocking shirts, I'd just like to point out that I also have an awesome
shirt. Oh, Motherhood for Good. There we go. Wow.
If we're going to talk about what we're wearing, I'm wearing a hoodie from Cabela's because I was tired and I didn't feel like...
I thought you were going to just rip your shirt off and we were going to see a giant S.
Yeah, something.
Nobody wants that.
No, don't. Let's not frighten the villagers here. This is National Apple Day, the fruit, not the computer, not the record. This is National Archives Day, Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. Don't know if I've had that, but I'm willing to try. That sounds very intriguing. National Police Commemoration Day. Again, it's not Reptile Day. Why do they do this? It's Reptile Awareness Day. So, Greg, please be aware of the reptiles. And let's see, it's a Monday. It's a new week. This is National Adoption Week, National Health Education Week, and National Pharmacy Week. Selena Heller is one of our fine reporters at Up North News, and you are going to be talking in our next hour about early voting, and you found somebody awfully special to talk about that with.
She came all the way from Massachusetts to talk about it. So yeah, Senator Elizabeth Warren was in Eau Claire yesterday. So we talked about early voting.
All right. Very good. So we've got that coming up, as well as Tanya Atkinson. Kristen's going to be busy campaigning for Congress. Are you any big events you want to tell us about before we run away?
Every day we're out in the field. Today, Clintonville. Tomorrow, Lawrence. We're knocking doors all over the place and just trying to hear from as many people as possible.
You're going to get earfuls. People are starting to plug in here with 2 weeks to go. So
I love it.
All right.
Bring it.
All that and much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.